If Lord Gaura had not incarnated by Srila Vasu Ghosh, if Lord Gaura had not appeared as the Yuga Avatar in this age of Kali, then what would have become of us? How could we have tolerated living? Who in this universe would have ever learned about the topmost limits of loving mellows that comprise the glory of Sri Radha? Who would have had the power to render ecstatic devotional service that follows in the footsteps of the Dambals of Braj? Indeed, the clever expertise of the Braj Gopis is the prerequisite for entering the supremely sweet forest of Brinda Devi. Oh, please sing again and again. Oh, please sing again and again of the glorious qualities of Lord Gauranga. Just try to keep your heart simple. Not even one person within this ocean of nescience has ever seen such a magnanimous personality as he. Even though I chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga, somehow I still have not melted in ecstasy. How then have I maintained the burden of this body? How has the Creator fashioned this body with a stone in place of Basu Ghosh's heart? Please repeat. If you want to be rid of the menace of the dog-like personality of Kali, Nidra Devi has come. If you want to be rid of the menace of the dog-like personality of Kali, then just sing the glories of the beautiful son of Sachi. He is the savior of the Kali Yuga. And he is the destroyer of all fear caused by the age of quarrel. In the first song that we have sung by Basu Ghosh, who was a very intimate, personal associate of Lord Chaitanya, we find the revelation of his heart. Lord Chaitanya explained that by studying all the various scriptures of the world, we will never truly understand what is the perfection of life. But by understanding the heart of a devotee who has surrendered everything for the service of the Lord, everything is revealed. That is why Srila Prabhupada explained in regard to the songs of Narottam Das Thakur that the essence of all the knowledge of all the Vedas is revealed through his prayers of love. Krishna manifests the truth through his servants. This is emphatically stated in Sri Bhagavad Gita,
Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshana.
If you want to actually understand the truth, one must approach spiritual master. But how to approach? If we want to actually get the effects or the benefits of the Lord's mercy, it is according to our disposition.
Yega tamam prapadyante tams tataiva vajamyaham mama vart manuparatante manushya paratasarvasha.
Krishna says, as you approach me, I will reveal myself according. If you approach Krishna to cheat him, Krishna explains in Gita, I am the best of cheaters, and I will cheat you. If we approach Krishna with hypocrisy, with egoistic motivations, eventually, after many, many births, we will become purified. But Krishna will respond immediately, accordingly. And you will not get Krishna. Therefore, in this verse, in this beautiful song, Vasu Ghosh is pleading with us. Just try to keep your heart simple. The first principle for real spiritual knowledge and realization, according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is simplicity. Simplicity means without duplicity, without hypocrisy, without a hidden personal agenda. And this is the way we should approach the spiritual master. Tadi tadvidi pranipashmena. We approach with submissiveness. Pariprashnena sevaya. And then we hear submissively. Arjuna was example. At the beginning of Gita, he was Krishna's friend. And he was arguing with Krishna. In one sense, he was giving little debate to Krishna. Krishna told him to fight, and he was giving so many reasons why he should not fight. But where does our intelligent logic ultimately lead us if it is independent of the will of the Lord? Karpanya doso pahata svabhava. To bewilderment, frustration, confusion, death, and rebirth. Therefore, he completely submitted himself to Krishna and inquired submissively. I do not know what is to be done or what is not to be done. I do not know what is my duty or how to perform it. Please enlighten me. It was only then that Krishna would speak the truth. So we must humble ourselves with a simple heart to inquire. Now, before we accept a guru, some argument and debate may have to be there, because our doubts have to be cleared. But once we accept, then the argument and debate is finished. Then if we have doubts, we inquire submissively. And whatever is spoken, we are willing to execute in our life, sevaya, service. If we want to understand Gita, If we want to understand any of the Vedic literatures, tad vijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchet, we cannot know the Vedas directly, because the Vedas directly tell us that to understand it, you must approach one who understands it. You must approach the spiritual master. And who is the spiritual masters? Srila Prabhupada was very revolutionary, because he was just about the only spiritual master that came to the West from India that did not claim to be God. It was quite shocking when he said, "He who says he is God is dog." Yes, Shamsundar Prabhu? That is the popular conception coming from this part of the world. Or let us say the popular misconception. Prabhupada explained that my only qualification is I am simply repeating what I have heard from my spiritual master. Every living entity is the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of God. And one who has realized that principle of servitude receives actual transcendental blessings. So Vasu Ghosh, Narottam Das Thakur, they are revealing their hearts intimately to the world so that we could learn from them how we should aspire to develop our consciousness. Gratitude is such a vital, essential quality in a devotee. This morning, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj spoke very wonderfully about the need for submissiveness and humility. One of the inseparable qualities of humility is gratitude. If you're proud, you're not really grateful, because you think you deserve something more or better than what you're getting. But if you're actually humble, then whatever you come, whatever bad comes, you think, "I deserve worse, thank you, God." And whatever good comes, we think, "I don't deserve any of this." And therefore we could really be thankful. If a person gives a vast quantity of money to buy something and he gets it, is he grateful? No. I've paid you, you've given me, that's all. But if you have nothing and you're given that, then you can actually understand and be grateful to the quality of mercy. So without a humble heart, without a grateful heart, we cannot comprehend actually the idea of mercy. We talk about mercy. We think about mercy. We even sing about mercy. But it is such a vast and deep subject. Very rare does anyone understand what this word means. Mercy is causeless. Mercy is all descending from the compassionate nature of the Absolute Truth. To those who have no qualification, who do not deserve it. Mercy is accessible to the extent we are receptive to it. Because actually Krishna is all merciful. His mercy is not selective. His mercy is universal. but we receive it according to our receptivity.
Just like the sunshine is so healing to the body. It gives vitamin C and so much health.
Now the sun is not discriminating who it's shining for and who it is not. The sun is simply shining. But we have the choice to stand in the sunlight or to dig a hole in the ground and bury ourselves and never see the light of day. That is materialistic life. To actually hide ourselves by our egoistic, duplicitous, hypocritical motivations so they can't really receive mercy. Again and again in the scriptures it is declared that it is not by our knowledge, it is not by our austerities, it is not by our pious activities, it is not by our concentration and meditation that we can understand Krishna as he is. Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya aham evam vidurajuna. It's only by bhakti. What does that mean? It is only by the Lord's mercy that we can understand him as he is. So how to open our hearts to receive that all-pervading, ever-existing mercy? We have used the example that according to the frequency we program something, we access certain vibrations. Yes? It's like this microphone is connected to a sound system, but if that sound system were to have a radio, then according to where it turns its dial, you're going to get a different sound vibration. You're going to hear people singing love songs. Then you turn to another frequency and you're going to hear local news. And then you're going to hear, turn to another station and you're going to hear world news. And another frequency, you'll hear some religious preacher telling you that you'll go to hell forever if you don't surrender. And then you turn to another frequency and you hear bhajans and kirtans. Yes? And you hear another frequency and there is just all kinds of prajalpa talking, arguing. So according to what you deliberately use your independence to tune into, that is what you're going to access. Now within this, that means all of these various frequencies and energies are everywhere in this world. With these satellites, you can be in a jungle in Bengal, and if you have a proper device, you can tune into 150 television stations from Australia and America. That means the vibrations are everywhere. What are we tuning into? So, Krishna's mercy is there. But all of Maya's unlimited frequencies are also everywhere. The question is, what are we going to tune into? That's what we're going to be influenced and affected by. So in order to actually tune in to receive the mercy of the Lord, to access it, we must be humble and we must be grateful, because a grateful heart can appreciate mercy, can understand mercy. Basu Ghosh is a very, very great personality. He is praying here, if Lord Gaur had not appeared as the Yuga Avatar in this age of Kali, then what would have become of us? How could we have tolerated living? Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays to Guru and prays to Krishna that your mercy is all that I am made of. There's nothing else. Everything else is just vast illusion meant to incriminate me and punish me. The only good thing there is in all of existence is your mercy. That's what I'm made of. So humility, gratitude are the necessary qualities to understand God. To think that you will become God, that is not humility. I have told you the story of when I was traveling in Mithila, and there was this young sadhu. He was about 10 years older than me, but he was young. We were traveling together, and he just wanted to do everything for me and everything for everyone. And every time he went before the deities, he would just bow down so many times, and tears in his eyes. He would just bend himself down with great apparent humility and just fold his hands and pray. And I was really thinking, I want to learn humility from this person. Then one day after prasad, he said, "Do you know why I'm always serving the Lord and his devotees?" And I said, "I want to know why. Please tell me." He said, "Because by doing so, I will become Lord Ram." I had a difficult time digesting that prasad. So that's not actually humility. That is a relative type of humility. Relative means temporary. All things that are temporary are relative. Nashato vidyate bhavo nabhavo vidyate shata. What is real is eternal. What is unreal is temporary. That is Gita. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his vast teachings he presented to Sanatan Goswami. They sat at the Manikarnika Ghat in Varanasi for 2 months, all day long, from sunrise to sunset. For 2 full months, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatan Goswami on the subtlest details of scriptural philosophy and the science of the soul and the science of prema. He taught him bhakti tattva, jiva tattva, Krishna tattva, rasa tattva. But his first teaching, unless you get this right, everything else is based on the wrong premise. Therefore, it's going in the wrong direction. First teaching, jivera swarupoi krishnera nitya das. We're not servants until we become God. Then we're masters. I will serve until I become master, and then everyone is my servant. Oh, the first principle of humility is to understand we are eternally the servants of the Lord. But the Lord took it further. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. If you want to actually be a servant of the Lord, you have to do what the Lord wants you to do. Yes, that's what servant means. And what does the Lord want us to do? To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Anu. What is the meaning of Anu? Who knows? Does it mean a great person?
How many think it means a great person? Actually, it does mean a great person. In the eyes of God, the smaller you think you are, the greater God sees you. And the greater the great person sees you. Anu means infinitesimally, atomic particle. Lord Chaitanya, in his Shikshastakam, prays to Krishna, I just want to be an atomic particle at your feet, particle of dust. Just keep me there and give me shelter. He's not saying, I want to become the all-pervading Brahman. He's saying, I just want to be one atomic particle of dust. And higher than that is to be an atomic particle dust in the servants of the servants. That was Uddhava's conclusion. When he saw the gopis of love for Krishna, he just wanted the dust of their feet on his head eternally. He prayed to eternally live in Vrindavan as a small weed of grass on the ground. So the dust of the feet of the gopas and the gopis would be on his head always. Because he understood, Krishna will be most pleased with me in that situation. Because Krishna loves those who love who he loves. That is natural. So we cannot play games with Krishna. He is the Paramatma. He is in our heart. When Krishna, in the form of Lord Narasingadev, offered Prahlad Maharaj great material benedictions, Prahlad Maharaj really felt bad about that. He said, do you consider me a devotee, or do you think I'm doing business with you? Prahlad remained faithful to Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, fearlessly preaching the message of Krishna, even at the risk of his life, again and again and again. Now, usually when you do things like that, he's preaching to Hiranyakashipu, he's preaching to his classmates, even when the Shanda and Amarka, the two sons of Shukracharya, are chastising him and threatening him. He's being thrown in, just like yesterday, he was thrown in fire. Holy.
Yes?
He was thrown in oceans, he was fed poison, he was stabbed with daggers and tridents and swords. He was put under the feet of mad elephants. Pits of snakes. What did he want from the Lord by doing that? When the Lord offered him something in return, he said, my Lord, if I ask anything in return, then I'm not a devotee. I'm just doing business with you. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, this is actually what devotion means. Now, in other religious ideas, there is a very less conception of what devotion is. But in the Bhagavad Purana, which is the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures, it teaches us the absolute necessity of what we must understand before we can go to Krishna's abode. And that is not to do business with Krishna. To surrender to Krishna, to serve Krishna. That is an expression of love. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvayu. This is Lord Chaitanya's prayer. Everything, everyone in the world is working for, going to church, mosque, temple, synagogue, asking God for, all these things everyone wants in the world, Lord Chaitanya is coming right out and saying, I do not want it. I do not want wealth. I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful women. I do not want to become known as a great poet or scholar. I do not want prestige, popularity. I don't even want freedom from suffering, liberation. Now, how many of us can honestly say we do not want any of these things? That means there's some problem with us. That means we're in a diseased condition. And still we're proud. We're thinking, I'm a great, look, I have Kantimala Tilak, I've been initiated, I have a name. I've been around for so many years. But actually, how many of us really can say, I do not want any of these things? What does Lord Chaitanya pray to Krishna for? Birth after birth after birth, let me be your servant, unconditionally. That is the ultimate aspiration. So here, Basu Ghosh, he's expressing his deep gratitude for Lord Chaitanya. He was one of Lord Chaitanya's favorite singers. There were three brothers, Govinda Ghosh, Basu Ghosh, and Madhava Ghosh. And when they would sing songs about Vrindavan, actually, Vrindavan manifested to the hearts of all the devotees. They could actually manifest Vrindavan in truth, in reality, whenever they sang. And the devotees entered into the eternal realm of Radha Krishna's abode just by participating in their kirtans. And how Lord Chaitanya was happy to hear them sing. It's a beautiful prayer. If Lord Gauranga had not appeared as the Yuga avatar in the age of Kali, that one, what would have become of us? How could we have tolerated living? Who in this universe would have ever learned about the topmost limits of devotional mellows that comprise the glory of Sri Radha? Who would have had the power to render ecstatic devotional service that follows in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja? He's gratefully explaining the unlimited value of the precious gifts that Lord Chaitanya offered to all living beings of this world. And then he reveals through his instruction and through his personal confession how to access and receive these gifts that Lord Chaitanya gave. Lord Chaitanya is giving every living being the opportunity to render the type of devotional service in which we can actually follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Braja and understand the love of Sri Radharani and eternally engage in the pastimes of that love. According to the Vedic scriptures, there is nothing higher than that. So first, here's what he's offering. Let us first be grateful, be humble, to understand that mercy. And then he gives us very, very simple, concise instructions of how to achieve it. He says, just means it's not all that big of a thing. Yes? When you say, if you're, you don't say just 5 million crores of rupees. You say just 5 paisas, right? Just means very small. Just the basics. So he says, just try to keep your heart simple. If you're not simple, you can't be simple. Yes? How many of you here are simple? So if you're not simple, how can you be simple? But you can try to be simple. Anyone can try to do anything. Yes? I can try to touch the moon. You can try to do anything. Even those things that are impossible, you can try to do. So here, Vasudev Ghosh is saying, just try to keep your heart simple. Not even one person within this ocean of nescience has ever seen such a magnanimous personality as Lord Gauranga. So just try to keep your heart simple means to just try to be humble. Trinadapi sunichena taror iba sihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Like a blade of grass, we should cultivate humility. Like the tree, we should cultivate tolerance. And we should offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Then Krishna will be pleased when he hears our chanting of the holy name. And he will give us the taste by which we'll never stop chanting the holy names. We heard this morning in Goswami Maharaj's class, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he explained that humility means not to expect anything from anyone. If you don't expect it, then you're grateful for anything. If you expect something, you're not grateful. And if you don't get what you expect, if you get what you expect, then it's just understood. No gratefulness. You say thank you, maybe, as a formality. And if you don't get what you expect, then you either become angry, defiant, or depressed, or indifferent. Yes? And all of these qualities attack devotional creeper within the heart. They're great obstacles. So amanina manadena really means like that. Offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. To expect no respect from others really means to expect nothing from others. Then we can be grateful. Then our heart is actually simple. All of our ulterior motives, we should see them for what they are and try to be simple. If you try to be simple, Krishna will help you to become actually pure in heart. What is the problem? When we have complexities, when we have hypocrisies, when we have duplicity, and we actually try to serve their dictations, which is what the conditioned soul is habituated to. Just try to keep your heart simple. And then Vasu Ghosh, who's chanting the names 24 hours a day, how is he able to chant the name 24 hours a day? He reveals this in the next beautiful line of his song. How is it that he can chant 24 hours a day, and when he chants, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's heart melt and tears pour from their eyes? How is it that when he chants, Vrindavan manifests? How is it that when he chants the holy names, all the assembly of devotees go into ecstasy? How is that? It's not because he learned ragas from a very good classical teacher. This is how. Is Nitra Devi bothering you too much? This is how. If you're eager to hear how, please very enthusiastically say Hari Bol. Even though I chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga, somehow I still have not melted in ecstasy. He's melting everyone else in ecstasy. Even the Lord is melting in ecstasy. But this is his humility. This is his simplicity. Even though I chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga, somehow I have still not melted in ecstasy. How then have I maintained the burden of this body? This is very good. The body is a burden if it's not ecstatically immersed in Krishna's service. And Vasudeva Ghosh continues, How has the Creator fashioned this body with a stone in place of Vasudeva Ghosh's heart? He's considering himself most fallen. What to speak of cleansing the heart? He's saying he doesn't even have a heart. There's a stone there instead. There can actually not be any limits of humility beyond this. Some people say, I have a stone, I have a hard heart. But he says, I don't even have a heart. There's just a stone there instead. And bhakti is something of the heart. Similarly, Rupa and Sanatan. They said, we are the most fallen, worse than Jagai Madhai. Please deliver us. That is humility. To want to be the servant of the servant of the servant, the ultimate aspiration of all spirituality. To be the servant of the servant of the servant with a pure heart, and to thus chant the holy names. We saw in this very, very exciting drama, was actually quite realistic also. We saw how God himself aspires to be a servant. Advaitacharya is Lord Shiva and Mahavishnu in one form. And he wants to be the servant of Lord Chaitanya. He happened to be the senior most famous Brahmin in the whole community. He was a vastly learned scholar. He had all opulences. And because of his seniority and age, he was the age of Lord Chaitanya's grandfather. He was the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's guru. He was the topmost respected leader of the whole Brahmin community. Therefore, he actually had all right to be respected. And Lord Chaitanya respected him as a senior. Now, what this play is showing, everything is there. If you just understand this drama today, you'll go back to Godhead. Today. Internally. That's the benediction of this drama. Here is Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all avatars. And he's taking the role of a devotee to show the world what pleases him by his own example. That's external for preaching purposes. But internally, the Lord actually wants to serve his devotees. The Lord wants to understand Radharani's love because Radharani is eternally simply immersed in unconditional service. The ashraya, the abode of love, is the servant. And the vishaya is the object of love, the enjoyer of that love. Lord Chaitanya wanted to taste the sweetness of ecstatic love of a servant, because he considered it tens and millions of times greater than his own. That is Sri Radha. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually tastes such nectar in serving his devotees. So the etiquette of Advaita Prabhu being very senior is Lord Chaitanya is touching his feet, honoring him, glorifying him, giving him very much respect and trying to do so many things for him. Now, how would you like Lord Chaitanya doing that for you? You'd probably be very happy about it. But Advaitacharya hated it. He actually despised. He loved the Lord, but he wanted to serve. He didn't want to be served. He showed that the ultimate aspiration in all of creation, both material and spiritual, is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And he went through such extremes. He actually did what the Lord did not like the most, just so the Lord would punish him. Because you don't punish your master. If you punish your master, you don't consider him your master. Yes? If the Lord punishes me, then he has accepted me as his servant. So what did he do? He preached Mayavad. Now most people love to hear Mayavad. Sometimes tens and thousands of people flock to places to hear that you're God and I'm God and everything's God and all is God. And just follow what I say and you will realize the essence of all knowledge. That you are God. You have no form. You have no personality. You have no attributes. You have nothing. Why? Because when you realize you have nothing, then you gain everything and become God. Hare Krishna. So he was preaching that. And Lord Chaitanya, being God himself, understood that this misconception totally destroys the sentiment of the soul to serve the Lord with humility and gratitude and simplicity for all of eternity. There is no ananda, there is no real ecstasy except through loving service, because that is our nature. The Lord explained that those who hear this Mayavad, their bhakti is doomed. Because it's so pleasing to the false ego. It's really pleasing to the false ego. If someone says, oh, you are very nice, you walk nicely, you dress nicely, you sing nicely, you perform your duties nicely, we feel very nice. If someone says, oh, you are God, we feel very nice. Yes? So the ahankar, the ego, is infatuated by this idea. So Lord Chaitanya explained in this way. He came to teach eternal loving devotional service as the eternal servants of the Lord. So Advaita went to the ultimate extreme and was preaching impersonalism, that devotional service is illusory and temporary, that ultimately God's form, His personality, His pastimes, and His names are all temporarily manifested in this world to help us go beyond and become the One. And we saw how Lord Chaitanya reciprocated with his philosophy. In fact, what we read in Chaitanya Bhagavat, they even went beyond. Really, this is very extreme drama. Because in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Advaita was beaten by the fist of the Lord, and he was just blissfully, but he wasn't so ecstatic that his beard fell off. Devotees have taken it one step further. And actually, that's the part of the drama the devotees liked the best. Yes, standing ovation when his beard came off. That's not in the scripture. Not only was it in the scripture, it wasn't even planned in the drama. Yes? It's just the Lord wanted to go even through these devotees. He even went beyond the scripture to try to teach us the emphasis of how the devotee is pleased, ecstatically pleased, when the Lord accepts him as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. In the second song we sang today, the names of Lord Chaitanya. Almost every single name we're reading is describing his relationships with his devotees. He maddens Gadadhar Pandit. Even his name, in this song, it doesn't say Lord Chaitanya. It says Sachinandan, Sri Sachinandan. He is the son of Sachi Devi. He's conquered so much by the love of his mother that he becomes a baby in her arms, drinking her milk. That is how the Lord is conquered by the love of his devotee. He maddens Gadadhar Pandit. He's the treasure of the life of Nityananda. He's the worshipable object of Advaitacharya. He's called Nimai by his mother because that was the name his mother gave him. His name Vishwambar was given by his grandfather, Nimbar Chakravarti Thakur. He is the only lord of Srivas Pandit, and he steals the hearts of all the assembled devotees, Bhakta Samuha Chita Chora. He's the corrector and purifier of Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, the deliverer of Prataparudra Maharaj, the source of nourishment for Ramananda Rai. He increases the ecstasy of Rupa Goswami. He maintains and protects Sanatan Goswami, and he gladdens Haridas Thakur. In this way, Krishna's names, Lord Chaitanya's names, the favorite names, are very much relationships with devotees. Why? Because the Lord wants everyone to know how much He loves His devotees. And if we want to make spiritual progress, we must also learn to love His devotees and serve His devotees. And at the conclusion of the drama, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us, after tearing the beard off Advaita Prabhu, Just two things are required. Now this is exactly, quote unquote, from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. The Lord said, if you just do two things, you will attain the perfection of life. If you just do two things, my mercy will take you back home, back to Godhead. And what are those two things? Just chant my holy names. And do not criticize others. That's all. What does that mean? Trinarapi sunichena turor ipasayishnina. Amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is what it means. To be humble like the blade of grass. To be tolerant like a tree. To ready to be eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this way we could chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Krishna will dance on our tongue when we vibrate his holy names. And Rupa Goswami explains, what is the experience of chanting with this type of humility? Two syllables, Krishna. When they dance on my tongue, I desire many, many, many tongues. When it enters my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears. This means Nidra Devi is nowhere to be seen. And when that name enters into my heart, it completely conquers my entire existence. That is the power of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya begins his prayers by explaining how the holy name purifies the heart. And then in his second prayer, he describes why that is. Because all the powers and opulences of God are in his name. The Lord is none different than his name. And then he teaches us how to chant. Trinadapi sunichena. That is the proper process of chanting. And then he teaches us what aspiration, simply to be the servant of the servant of the servant, not to do business with the Lord. And then he teaches us the ultimate humility of only aspiring to take shelter of being an atomic particle in the feet of the Lord. And then he teaches us what happens. We actually enter into the states of longing for ecstasy in the spirit of service. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam. This is the way a pure devotee feels, that the whole world is a dreary void without the sight of Govinda. That's what we long for. That's what we strive for. That becomes the state of our consciousness when we learn how to chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, with attention, and we do not criticize others. Chanting the holy names and criticizing. To criticize, you have to be proud. You don't criticize without pride. If you're doing constructive criticism to help a person, then you're actually in the spirit of a servant. But are you like that? Make sure you are. Otherwise, it's pride. Then we chant, elephant goes in the water, then throws dirt all over its body. That's not the way to become pure. So Krishna loves his devotees. Krishna loves to serve his devotees. And that he revealed in the most munificent and magnanimous way as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya taught us how the Lord tastes the supreme nectar of serving the devotees and showing compassion, which is service to even the most fallen, degraded souls. To actually be compassionate is being in a service attitude. It's selfless service. The Lord was willing to extend himself to such degrees to serve the most sinful people who were blaspheming him and rejecting him by giving them a chance to take the name of the Lord and be saved. Dina hina yata chilo harinam udharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. So if we want to understand beyond just entertainment the pastimes of the Lord, if we want to actually enter into the deep mysteries of the holy name of the Lord, take Vasu Ghosh's instruction to heart. Keep your heart very simple. Always be eager to serve. Do not criticize others. And Krishna's mercy will be upon you. Simply don't criticize others and chant the holy names in a humble state of mind, and the Lord will take us back home, back to Godhead. Yesterday, we discussed the story of the installation of the deities of Narottam Das Thakur in Khetri on the occasion of Gaur Purnima, and how Narottam Das Thakur, who in his writings reveals the humility of his own heart, how by his love and devotion, how by the humility in which he chanted the holy name, he actually brought Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates down from the spiritual world to dance in the kirtan as a reality. But then the Lord left, and they were all submerged in an ocean of separation. Now, Janava Devi, she's the senior most Vaishnava in the whole planet at that time. Even the great sannyasis and mahants did not have the high esteemed seat as Janava Devi, because she's the consort, the Shakti of Nityananda Prabhu. She saw the condition of all the Vaishnavas. She wanted to serve them. She wanted to make them happy. So she inaugurated a very sweet, beautiful festival that brought incredible joy to all the devotees' hearts. Because Gaur Purnima is also the occasion where Sri Sri Radha Krishna and the gopas and gopis of Vrindavan celebrate Holi. It is the day, and it goes on for many days. So Janava Devi had Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya get nice, bright-colored, scented powders and placed all of them in front of the deities. And then she personally took those powders, and as everyone was sitting in the temple watching, she was sprinkling the powders on the deities, so that the deities are actually playing holy. Yes? Devotees aren't so concerned with playing holy themselves. They're concerned with Krishna playing holy. Yes? That is what puja means. And after, devotees were just enthralled, enchanted, ecstatic, just seeing Krishna, just his beautiful form, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Actually, I told you about that deity of Lord Gauranga yesterday.
there is a secret that I will reveal. I went to see that deity just a few weeks ago. The deity only comes out of the temple one day a year. Otherwise, it's locked. He's locked inside. Hare Krishna. But somehow or other, he's just in somebody's house. There's a temple that they bring him out in, and lakhs of people come on that day to see the deity. But they let us come in the house, and for 2 hours, let us sit within 12 inches of the deity. And His Holiness Indrajumana Swami Maharaj took photos of this beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu that was installed at Khetri Gram by Narottam Das Thakur. And I have photo. But it's not developed yet. It's unmanifested. So Janavati, but next Sunday we will show you. So Janavadevi, she understood the heart of the devotees. They want to see Krishna happy. So she sprinkled,
there you go.
She sprinkled these fragrant colored powders on the beautiful golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then on the deities of Balabhi Kanta, Radha Kanta, Radha Raman, Sri Krishna, and Braj Mohan. And the devotees were sitting like this, just enjoying like anything, seeing Krishna performing His whole with His devotees. And then whatever scent odors remained were Mahaprasad. And the devotees very lovingly, graciously shared that Mahaprasad amongst each other. Not like Kshatriyas. The idea is not to blind people's eyes and ruin people's clothes and get revenge on people for their... The idea is very graceful, very sweet. I remember I was in Barsana once for Holi, and I was walking through Van, and people were just coming up, they just had little, and they would just come up and just, with so much love and affection in their hearts, they would just go, Jai Shri Radhe Shyam, and they'd take little, and they just sprinkle it on your head. And then they'd hold it out, and I'd, Jai Shri Radhe Shyam, and I'd sprinkle it on their head, and it was really... You're giving each other, you're expressing love through that powder. It wasn't Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. Very nice. So today, for the first time in the history of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, we are going to celebrate Holi. And everyone will very happily chant the holy names very loudly as Sri Radha Gopi Jana Ballabha and Sri Gaur Nitai are offered this beautiful, beautiful offering and perform their pastime, and we will be very happy. And then when their Maha Prasad comes off the altar, in the mood of the residents of Barsana, we will say Jai Radhe Shyam and very gracefully, lovingly sprinkle. Is that possible? Thank you very much.